Hi, Justin. I love you, miss you, proud of you.
Oh, okay, okay. Amen. Amen. All right. Good morning, everybody. See y'all today. See here. Got some announcements for you. Lily Williams has got a birthday on the 21st. So 3 days out. Miss Lily Williams. Any other birthdays in the house today? Anybody else got a birthday? No? No? All right, you want to sing happy birthday, and then I'll do some more. I got some more. Let's go ahead and sing that happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more. All right, on Channel 4 with Frankenstein on Channel 9. Y'all remember that back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Big time. All right. Let's see here. We got prayer. Bible study tomorrow night. Bible study tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, next door over in the Sunday School building. All right, that's coming tomorrow night. And then next Saturday is our monthly game night. That's next Saturday. that's next Saturday going on. And that starts what time, brother? 6? All right. Hey, will you help that brother on the door, help him maybe shut that before we lose all that hot, cold air? All right, there we go. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, and then let's see here. That starts at 6 and goes to when? 9 o'clock, 6 to 9. And then let's see here. We've got a flyer on the back of that little back cabinet, that little back cabinet, and as you go out. And it's a flyer for a Mr. William, and he is a delivery, he's a pizza delivery driver. He works with Lee, is that correct? And Lee and his co-workers are trying to do like a GoFundMe for him. He's been driving a car that's on its last leg. Yeah, it's on its last leg. He makes his living, delivering pizzas. So they've put their heads together and started a GoFundMe. If you'd be interested in reading about that, praying about that, or maybe giving to that, there are flyers back there on the cabinet back there, okay? So that's that announcement. And then I got game night. No PM service tonight. Enjoy your time with your daddy. Father's Day. And let's see here. Men, you want to come down and get your mug? Let's come down and get our mugs, man. All right. Brother Ronnie's going to hand some mugs out. All right. You can have a mug. Or if you'd rather have a poke in the eye, we can poke you in the eye. I'll take the mug. My kids gave me a mug several years ago. It had pictures on it. And all right. Yeah, I want mine, man.
Oh, you want one for your dad?
Oh, okay. Oh, you got more? All right. Oh, wow.
Get it out there.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Amen. Wow, look at that dude. That's legit. I have not opened my cards. Are there cash? Is there cash in my cards? All right. Thank y'all so much. Hey, let me have that mic. You got that mic?
There's one down there, but you can borrow this
one. Yeah, let me borrow that one. Yeah. All right, throw one hard. Throw one hard. Gene's going deep. Debbie, did you get one for Paul? Let's get one for Paul, man. Yeah. Yeah, Debbie said don't throw it. Amen. All right. Fred, did you get one? Outstanding. Has that got everybody? Amen, amen. Outstanding. All right. Very good. All right, Miss Vicki, we're going to ask you to give a prayer of thanks for the fathers. Amen. Oh,
what an honor.
Yeah, you do it, girl.
Father God, I come to you this morning with praise, honor, and glory. You're the father of all of us, and we just want to thank you first, and then I want to thank you for each and every father that are here that could not be here. And I give honor to each and every one of y'all. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Vicki. All right. Amen, amen. Yeah, give the dads a hand. Amen.
All right, brother. Kick it off. All right. Amen. Well, stand if you can. We're going to continue singing Shout to the Lord.
for me. It was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
All right, dear Heavenly Father, we just come here today just to worship you, Lord Jesus, and honor your precious holy name. We lift you up on high. And Lord, we just love you and we thank you for everything you've given us, Lord, for everything that comes from you, Lord. And we just want to, again, just bless all the fathers here today and all the fathers, you know, Lord, we think about them and what they've done, going to work every day and, you know, providing for the family, Lord. And we just ask you to guide and direct them, Lord, and we pray for them, Lord. They come to know you as their Lord and Savior if they don't know you, Lord. Lord, we do lift up a pastor to you this morning. We just pray that you put the word on his heart and let the Holy Spirit just flow through this church and touch each and every one of us, Lord, and that we may take the word outside the doors, Lord, and share the word. Lord, and we do thank you for our visitor today. Lord, we hope they're blessed with the word. And Lord, we do have the fish fry next door. We thank you for that, Lord, and we pray that everybody comes to that today. And, Lord, but again, we just thank you, Lord. Everything you've given us, Lord, you give us everything. And everything belongs to you, and we thank you. We give just a small portion back to you, Lord. We just ask you to bless this offer in Jesus Christ's holy, precious name. Amen.
Amen. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Lord of all. Amen.
Amen. All right, brother. That was a good warm-up song. That was my pitch. I could do that one. Amen. I could do that one. I could. Felt good. It felt good. Amen. Loosen those pipes up and get them going. Right, right. Amen, amen. Man, guys, thank you so much for doing the, and they're all next door, but you tell them Pastor Lee bragged on them. Amen. Thank you so much for doing the fish fry on Father's Day. Amen. That's big time, right? Yeah. That's big time. I got a head start. I had me some Vernon's catfish last night. And if you've not been to Vernon's in Conroe, you need to get there, right? They put a good scald on that catfish. It's good. They have plenty of lemon juice to put on it. Hush Puppy's got a good flavor. Amen. Well, I was mixing up some drywall joint compound, all purpose. That's what I skim walls out with when I'm getting ready to skim out a wall after I've done a repair. I skim it with all purpose. It's got a lot of glue in it. It sticks, right? Get a good stick on it. It's hard to sand, but it'll really go on good. And I was mixing it up, and you only put a little bit of water when you go to skim coat in a box of mud, and I put it in there, and I'm blending it all up and everything, and I'm getting it all ready, and I take that old half-inch drill and my beater, and I start, you know, ladies, like when you do a cake, you want to get all of it in there, right? So I'm beating it, shaking that all off, and about that time, I raise up, and I go, man, it's hot in here, right? It's hot in the house. And I heard the AC running, right? And I go, what's going on with the AC? So I cleaned up my tools and put a top on my bucket of mud, walked my bucket of mud upstairs where I'm working, and I commenced to go look at the thermostat. And it said it was 79 degrees in the house. We don't keep it 79. Fred, do you keep your house 79? No! So I go, what in the world? So I went outside and looked at the thingamabob out there. What do you call that, the condenser? Condensing unit? So I go outside and look at the condensing unit, and I hear the thermostat had kicked the contactor on. But no bueno. No turning of the fan and no compressor. So James, you know what I did? I said, you know, I've got a capacitor around here somewhere. I bought me a capacitor probably 10 years ago when we moved into the house. And I go, I know it's around here somewhere. And I went out in the garage and I started digging and fumbling around. And sure enough, in my box of electrical supply stuff, there was the capacitor. I picked it up. It was like gold. It's like, oh, like the sky parted and I could hear angels singing. And so I went over to the side of the house and lo and behold, I'm here today. I didn't electrocute myself. Amen. That's like 220 flowing through there. I pulled the breaker, got the cap out, and you know, you can tell when the cap's bad, it pops at the top. Man, that cap had a huge dome on it. It was all popped. The fan was off. The compressor was off. They all three, I think, broke at the same time. I put the new cap in, buttoned it all up, and hit the go button, and there's nothing sweeter than the sound of a condenser running when it's 79 degrees in the house. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That has nothing to do with the message, by the way. Amen? Let's give our visitors a round of applause today. Thank you, visitors, for being here. Those of you with us online, good to have you as well. If you have a copy of God's Word, take it and turn to Colossians chapter 1. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God, Colossians 1. We'll begin reading here in verse 24. And we'll take it through 29. Do we have any? We're not doing children's church today. I'm assuming everybody's working next door. All right, that ain't going to happen. All right, so you guys are going to have to hunker down. I'll make a deal with you. I'll make a deal with you. I'll be fast. Amen? You behave, I'll be fast. Work? All right, amen. All right. If you don't behave, you have to, you got to come read part of my passage. Okay, you got to behave then. All right. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 24. Have you found it? Amen, amen. The Word of God reads this. It says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden. Notice what it says. That is the mystery. You might want to underline that when you sit down. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints. Are you a saint today? Amen. All right. Saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's say that together. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Very good. Thank you. Verse 28, we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We pray our hearts would be open to receive it. And Lord, as we get into it today, I pray that that Holy Spirit, as present in us, would take this Word and apply it to our hearts. And Lord, we would be more like Christ when we leave here than when we came in here. So, Lord, may we take the Word of God out, and may we sow it along the highways and the byways. And, Lord, may people that know us know that we are blood-bought and know that we're saved and know that we abide in Christ. He's in us. That is the hope that we have today, Christ in us. We love You today, Lord. If there's someone here that does not know You as their personal Lord and Savior, we pray that through the preaching of this Word, perhaps they're online watching, perhaps they watch this weeks or even months from now, we pray that through the preaching of Your Word, the gospel message, they would come into the convicting power of this Holy Spirit we're talking about today, and they would bend the knee, they would bow the head, they would confess the tongue that Jesus is Savior and Lord of their lives. So Lord, we love You. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for all You do for us. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of God's Word, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, I don't know about you, but most people, I get into this. Most people love a good mystery. You do too? Huh? Some of you do? Love a good mystery. That's why popular shows like Unsolved Mysteries, you know, that show was off the air for 10 years, and people wanted it back so bad that it finally went to Netflix. They rebooted that thing in 2020, and it's now on Netflix. Unsolved Mysteries. Popular show. Another popular show, I know you've seen one of these. CSI. Amen? Somebody? CSI. Started out, CSI franchise. It started out with just plain Jane vanilla CSI. And then the popularity of it took off because people like mysteries. And then you had CSI Miami. And then it kept going. You had CSI New York. And then you had CSI Cyber. And it's followed by CSI Vegas, which is still on the air today. They're still cranking out new episodes. Popular show. We are addicted to shows like this because most of us love to figure out a good whodunit. Now, I heard a funny story about a mystery lover. He was attending a theatrical performance of a mystery. Unfortunately, he loved mysteries, but unfortunately, he was seated on the back row and in a very lousy seat in the auditorium. And so he called one of the ushers over and he said, "Man, I really love to figure out mysteries. Is there any way you can get me closer? You can get me down to the front so I can really take it all in." Well, the usher knew that one of the regular patrons was not there that night, and so he said, "Sure, come this way." The guy promised to give him a handsome tip. I got down to about the third row down here, and it was a middle seat in the aisle, and he was about to sashay over to it, and the usher looked at him. He said, "Oh, yeah, your tip," and he pulled out, and he handed him a quarter, right? The old usher, his eyes kind of dropped. He was kind of disgruntled about getting a quarter when the guy told him he was going to get this big tip, and he said, sir, come here. And the guy leaned into him before he took off to the middle seat. He said, "The butler did it." Amen? You get it? Yeah. Don't be a cheapskate. Amen? Right. You know what I'm saying? Today, some of you will get that on the way home, by the way. Today, we are going to examine history's greatest mystery. We're going to examine it. The word mystery is found 27 times in the New Testament. In the Bible, mystery, when you see that, it does not mean something that is permanently hidden. Rather, this word describes a truth that was secret for a time, but at the proper time, the truth of the mystery is fully revealed. So what are we going to do? We're going to work our way through this passage, and we are going to examine and at the same time celebrate history's greatest mystery. You with me so far? Amen. All right, point number one. The power behind this mystery makes you rejoice. Listen to me. Makes you rejoice even when you suffer. I'll say it one more time. The power behind this mystery makes you rejoice even when you suffer. Look at verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his holy body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Now, who are we talking about here? We're talking about the Apostle Paul, the author of the book of Colossians. What's a little of Paul's background? The Apostle Paul, if you'll remember, as he got going in his journey with Jesus, he was a religious terrorist before he was converted to Christ. Do you remember his background? He worked as a self-proclaimed hitman for the Jewish mafia in Jerusalem. He arrested Christians. He threw them in jail. He even gave his approval to their execution in the case of the stoning of Stephen. Now, don't ever say that God does not have a sense of humor. Paul, the religious terrorist, would end up being a Christian himself and would spend much of his life in jail. Don't ever say God doesn't have a sense of humor, friend. He does. Now, Paul suffered more than most of us can imagine. By his own admission, in 2 Corinthians, he had been beaten how many times? 8 times. Shipwrecked how many times? Pastor, 3 times. And once he was stoned, not with marijuana, but actually rocks. He was stoned so badly, they left him for dead. Right? That's his suffering. But rather than complaining about all his suffering, he boasted about his suffering. And then, not only did he boast about it, he rejoiced in his suffering. See, Paul, the apostle, had uncovered a mystery that enabled him to deal with pain and adversity with a positive attitude. We've got a person here that knows how to do what I'm talking about. Well, who is it, preacher? See me. See me after the service. If you're struggling and you're suffering, I'll give you this individual's name. They're sitting in this room. I'm not going to call them out here. They get embarrassed. But they have been through what I'm talking about, and they're still here, and they're still positive, and they're still in love with the Lord, and they still love the church, and they still love their pastor. Amen? I'm telling you. Instead of complaining about his suffering in prison, Paul wrote us Colossians 1:24. That's what he did. We just read it. Paul wanted to be free. He wanted to be free to preach. He wanted to be free to start churches. But he had discovered a mystery. He had discovered a secret that allowed him to wholesale the gospel to millions. While the Apostle Paul was in prison, waiting to be executed, he didn't play the "oh, poor, pitiful me." He didn't play that game. No, he got to work. He wrote us Philemon. And he wrote us Ephesians. And he wrote us the little book of Philippians. And he gave us this epistle that we're going through here this morning, Colossians. Amen? Yeah, in prison, waiting to die. Now, I don't know about you, but Brother Jeremiah, since you on this lemon kick, that's what I call turning lemons into lemonade. Amen? Right? And having leftover lemon to put on your catfish, right? That's what I call that, right? Now, the question is, it's in black and white for us today. Have you ever discovered the secret? Have you uncovered the mysterious power that enables you to not just survive the tough times, but to thrive through the tough times? Has that ever come across your bow? Has that mystery ever come into your heart? Have you stumbled upon it and taken off for the Lord in the midst of your suffering? Number two, this mystery was hidden for many ages. Many, many ages this mystery was hidden. Look at verse 26. You still with me out there? I think y'all got catfish on the brain, but come on, we got to finish before we go eat. Verse 26 says, that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints. This mystery was not revealed to the people who lived during the Old Testament. That's Paul's point. The Old Testament folks didn't have a clue. Moses never understood it. Elijah was clueless about it. David, even a man after God's own heart, he was never privy to this mystery. The Old Testament, we love it. The Old Testament, great. The Old Testament, Jesus is all over it. The Old Testament, full of promises from God that He will save and deliver His people. And they did know a Messiah was coming, and they did have faith in that, and they were saved by that. But what you never find in the Old Testament is exactly how God intended to do it. The how. The past was hidden. That part was hidden. It was a mystery. For example, I love the promise of God given to in Isaiah chapter 40, where He says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, He says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Now that's an absolute bona fide promise of God. Amen? But how does He actually strengthen His children? Had you pressed Isaiah at the time, he could not answer that question. It was still a mystery at that time how that was going to happen. With me? David communicated that wonderful promise in the 23rd Psalm, that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's true, amen? That's true. But if I had asked David, okay, I believe the promise, but, oh, King, please tell me, how does God do that? David might have stabbed at it here or there, but he really could not give the correct answer because during his time, it was still a mystery hidden for the ages. Brings me to point number three. This mystery will make you a complete person. Amen? Make you a complete person. Look at verse 28. Verse 28. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Now, if your Bible says perfect, know that that Greek word is really talking about wholeness, or it's talking about being complete. All right? Know that it means that. In the Old Testament time period, back to the Old Testament, people lived under the law. The only way to try to be a complete person was to keep the law. So they existed with a performance mentality in which righteousness was established by how good or bad they acted. But this mystery offers a new standard. It offers a new standard. Now I want to tell you today, there are still churches that preach a performance standard. They have simply baptized the Old Testament law into how they function as congregations. They still preach that salvation is a matter of thou shalt and thou shalt not. And people who try to live under this old performance standard, they are continually beating themselves up. Continually beating themselves up. And their motto is, try harder. You just have to try harder. Well, I want to tell you something, friend. It's taken me a long time to figure it out. Probably hadn't had it figured out, but maybe about 10 years now. That is a formula for failure, to continually try harder. See, the mystery I talk about, the mystery that Paul writes about, the mystery that Jesus is trying to give us, the mystery completely cancels and contradicts the performance standard. Which brings me to point number four. And that is history's greatest mystery. That's Christ in you. That's what that is. That's Christ in you. Look at verse 27. to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, this truth is profoundly simple, but it is also simply profound. Listen to me. Christ in you enables you to remain positive during suffering. Christ in you is the way God fulfills all of His precious promises. Christ in you is how, the how, it's the big how that was hidden for many centuries. Christ in you is the only way you can become a complete person. True community, everybody wants community. Everybody wants kumbaya fellowship. Everybody wants to feel like they're connected with one another. Everybody needs that. Well, the community, or koinonia, spoken of in the New Testament in the Greek, is realized when the Christ in me connects with the Christ in you. That's how it happens. When Paul says, you, the you is plural here, friend. You all, right? You all are what we say here in Texas. Y'all. Amen. Y'all. That's y'all. One commentator explains Christ in you this way. He says, the New Testament teaches the dual truths of how we are in Christ and how Christ is also in us. He goes on to write, he says, to be in Christ, that makes you fit for heaven. But he says, for Christ to be in you, that makes you fit for earth. Somebody say amen. He says, to be in Christ, that changes your destination. He goes on to write, he says, but for Christ to be in you, that changes your destiny. Amen. He says, to be in Christ makes heaven your home. But he goes on to write, but for Christ to be in you makes this world God's workshop. His workshop. You're a tool, friend. You haven't figured that out. You're a tool of Christ. Friend, that is the mystery. And once you grasp that Christ is in you, that truth radically changes the way you understand your Christian life. Is it sinking in? You know, the beauty of this, you can go back and watch this. You can go back and listen to this. Well, Pastor, I was trying to get it, but man, I just couldn't get it. There was catfish fumes wafting through the door, and I couldn't quite come. Well, you go back and watch it again, amen? I want you to consider three enormous personal applications of this mystery, history's greatest mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It begins with a salvation application. Can I be honest with you today? Salvation is not religion. Salvation is Jesus living in you. Paul hammers this theme again and again and again. He writes a letter to the church at Galatia. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Another theologian, another commentator, he wrote this. He said, there are few things quite so boring as being religious, but there's nothing quite so exciting as being a Christian. He writes, most folks have never discovered the difference between the one and the other, so that there are those who sincerely try to live a life they do not have, substituting religion for God, Christianity for Christ, and their own noble endeavors for the energy, joy, and power of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, he says, they are lamps without oil. They are cars without gas, or batteries, I guess. Pens without ink. He says, baffled at their own impotence in the absence of all that alone can make man functional. For man was so engineered by God that the presence of the Creator within the creature is indispensable to his humanity. You've got to have him in you if you're going to be all that you're supposed to be. Amen, amen? That's the salvation application. Secondly, there is a security application when we think about celebrating history's greatest mystery. Security application. When your heart is Christ's home, when your heart is Christ's home, He does not change addresses. He's with you forever. Amen? In the Old Testament, there was first the tabernacle, and then later there was a couple of temples in which God's glory was displayed. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people, but now He has a people for His temple. Make sense? Yes? Again, Paul writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, he says, Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body. See, the temple of God was a place where God displayed His glory, where He displayed His grace. But now my body and your body and our bodies, they are the temple of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? If you believe salvation is Jesus coming to dwell in your life, then the only way you could ever lose your salvation would be for Jesus to leave you, yet Jesus promised He would never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? The Old Testament time, David prayed, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." That was a possibility then in that old dispensation in the Old Testament, because the Spirit of God would come on and would come in people and leave them at times. They hadn't had the day of Pentecost then. For example, in the story of Samson, his strength was not in his hair, but it came from the what? It came from the very Spirit of God. In Judges chapter 14, 19, the Word of God reads, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily," talking about Samson, "and he went down to Ascalon and killed 30 of them and took their spoil and gave the changes of clothes to those who told the riddle. And his anger burned and he went up to his father's house." That phrase in the story of Samson, "the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily," that phrase, "the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily," repeats several times in the story of Samson and Delilah. But we know after Delilah cut his hair, which was a symbol of his commitment, the Philistines attacked him again, and Samson did what? He jumped up to fight them off as he had always done, but we read these sad words in Judges chapter 16, verse 20. Delilah says, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. In the Old Testament time, God's Spirit would come and go. But when Jesus talked about sending the Holy Spirit to represent Him, He said in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Christ has come to live in your heart, and you are His permanent residence. Christ in you gives you security. Amen? Which brings us to our third and final application, and that is the strength application. We've heard the salvation application, the security application. There's one more. It's the strength application. Frustration. Frustration is trying to do things for Jesus. Fullness is allowing Jesus to live His life through you. I'm going to say it one more time because it's so good you don't want to miss it. Frustration is trying to do things for Jesus. Fullness is allowing Jesus to live His life through you. Does that make sense? Amen? Allowing Jesus to live in you does not make you a passive person. You will find yourself working harder than ever, but you will be working in His strength and not your own. Verse 29, "For this purpose," what does Paul say? "For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me." Now, let me ask you the question. Which do you think will get more done, working in your energy or in His energy? What's going to get more done? Yeah, in His energy, right? Paul refers to this secret, mysterious power again when he wrote to that church at Philippi in Philippians 2:13. He says, "For it is God who's at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." See, fullness, when we think about fullness, it's not about giving our best. Rather, it is about surrendering our all. You see the perspectives change there? It's not about giving our best. It's about surrendering our all. Now, your pastor has been at this almost 30 years of ministry, and I'm still growing in this truth that Christ is in me, the hope of glory. Probably about 10 years, probably about the time I came here. This was beginning to gel and to make sense after 20 years of ministry. Hadn't figured it out, right? Hadn't figured it out. Friend, I cannot tell you what a relief I experienced when I finally figured out I could not live the Christian life. Only Christ in me can do that. That was revolutionary. See, my job is simply to abide in Christ. My job is simply to submit and surrender to the game plan. What's the game plan, preacher? That because Jesus lives in me, He wants to love people through me, right? Christ wants to love you through me, right? Christ wants to forgive you through me. He wants me to tell you you've been forgiven. Amen? Right? The game plan, He wants to encourage you through me, right? That's the game plan. I just abide and surrender to that. He wants me to hold you accountable to His Word and tell you what His expectations are, right? So that you can abide and surrender more to Him, right? Christ wants to spread His eternal gospel through me. And He wants to spread His eternal gospel through you. Now, I certainly don't think, I have never thought I'm the sharpest knife in the drawer. Never thought that. Kind of an easily amused guy. Doesn't take a whole lot to make me laugh. You know, small jokes, big effect. You know, I'm easily amused. Have a keen sense of the obvious, right? Not the sharpest guy. But I think I'm average, right? I think I'm quite typical when understanding and embracing this truth, as other Christians have struggled with the enormity of this truth as well. It's a big truth to get your head around. It's profound, but it is profoundly true. See, when most folks get saved, they think this Christian life is going to be easy peasy. They really do. They think all I have to do is repent and ask Jesus to come into my heart. No problemo. This is going to be a cakewalk. I got this. Come on, let's get after it, right? But then we get discipled. If we stay in church, we do. If we go to a church that's preaching the Bible, teaching the Bible, we cannot help but get discipled. Now, we can come in and put our ear pods in, or we can be on our phone the whole time and miss the Word of God that way. But if we give it halfway a chance, if we give it halfway a chance, we're going to get discipled. We're going to get discipled. And once we begin to get discipled, we find out what Jesus' expectations are, and we soon realize, it soon comes all crashing down around us, that this Christian living is difficult. And then if we continue on with Jesus, we don't bolt out the door, we don't fall away, we don't run off. If we continue with Jesus, oh, Lord, help me. I got to do this. He saved me. I believe I'm heaven bound. If we stay with it, if we continue with Jesus, we find that living for Him in our own strength is impossible. And then I think that's where Christ ultimately wants us. At the end of ourselves, so that we can then realize that Christian living is all about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your Word, Lord. And Father God, I pray that by Your Spirit, you would help those that are on the fence with receiving this word. It's your Bible, not mine, Lord. May your Holy Spirit continually convict and confront and help them comprehend what we've said today. Lord, I pray you'd reveal it to them and you'd hold it before them and you would allow them to, may take a year, Lord, may take 2 years or three, but you would allow them to ease into it, to abide in you more, to quit trying to do it in their own strength, but to allow the Holy Spirit, Christ, to do it through them. It's so revolutionary when it happens. It's so freeing when the brain finally clicks with the spirit and the will and it all comes together. But it usually doesn't happen overnight. But Lord, we're praying for the process. And we're praying for the fruit of it all. And we're praying for the salvations that will be produced because of it. Lord, thank you that you've called each and every person here today to hear your word, to have an opportunity to think about it, and to apply it to their lives. And Lord, we pray they would do just that. Lord, those that are watching us online, we pray they would get a special sense of encouragement, Lord, to abide in you and to surrender their all to you. And to, Lord, to just rest in you. Those that are struggling physically, perhaps struggling emotionally, perhaps even struggling spiritually and couldn't be here, but are all with us online. Lord, we pray you touch them in a special way. These here in the house today, Lord, if there's somebody that doesn't know you, hadn't surrendered to you, haven't bent the knee or bowed the head or confessed the tongue to you, may this be the hour. May this be the time of their salvation. May they not put it off another day, another hour, another moment. But may they come to you, knowing that you're the God who forgives, knowing that you're the God who's paid it all, knowing that it's the blood shed on Calvary's cross that covers their sin and takes care of their penalty. Father God, thank you for your incredible love for us, your patience with us, how you provide and how you draw us and continually woo us to your side. We don't deserve it, but we praise you for it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Jeremiah, lead us in this time of invitation.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
All right. Y'all ready for some food? Fred? Yes, Fred, are you ready? I'm ready, brother. Lee, are you ready?
I am.
I'm ready. All right. Brother, you ready? Amen. You ready, brother? You ready for your catfish? Are you ready? You ready for your catfish? Oh, you're not so sure. You ready for catfish? Absolutely. Amen. You staying for catfish? Oh, man. Somebody eat a piece of catfish for this brother. All right. Amen. Good to have you today. All right. You going to eat some catfish? No. No, she doesn't like fish. No bueno, Debbie. No. All right. My plate's getting bigger by the moment. Amen. Oh, you're going to take one home? All right. Gene's going to eat mine. Let's pray and thank him for the food. Amen. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for that peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, we thank you for the wonderful truth today that we got to explain and celebrate Christ in us, the hope of glory. We thank you for these visitors today, Lord. We pray this service has been a blessing to them and encouragement. Lord, we pray you would draw them back to this place, or Lord, lead them to another church that's preaching the Bible and teaching the full counsel of God. So Lord, be with them as in their search for a church family and a church home. But Lord, for the rest of us, we just thank you for the food next door. We pray that you'd nourish it to our bodies and our bodies to your service. Everyone that's outside today, Lord, we pray they'd be cautious, be careful, stay hydrated, and not overdo it. Be with those folks, those service workers, police officers, firefighters that have to be out in this today, Lord. A special hedge of protection around them. Watch over them, Lord. Those that are actually doing road work, there'll be emergencies, patches here and patches there and water mains and stuff, Lord. Watch over them, Lord. Be with those AC guys that are up in the attics today and tomorrow. Watch over them as well, Lord. Just keep them safe. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. All right, you're dismissed.